Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast. Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2016. It's Sunday, July 31st, 9:30 Eastern Time when we're starting this recording. I'm joined once again by Alex Cazor, fresh back off of his, what is right now, a daily jaunt to Latrobe. Alex, happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday, Dave. Yeah, the days are already blurred to me, so I'll take your word for it that today is indeed Sunday.
Let's see, you got one more. We'll make four straight on Monday. They have the day off on Tuesday. How many times did they go four straight? Do you remember?
I'm not sure. Maybe one more time, but it's not as bad as last year. Remember once last year, there was like 6 days in a row, and by like day six, I, and I'm sure everybody else was pretty drained.
Yeah, you'll be ready for Tuesday for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, let's not waste any time, and let's start getting right after it. We'll start off with a little bit of the house cleaning, as we like to call it. Injury-wise, Shamarco Thomas, after missing the Saturday session, was back on the field. He, of course, was ill on Saturday, so it's good. You know, we didn't know whether or not he was going to make it back or not, so it definitely is good that he was back on the field. A couple of kind of new injuries to pass along. Mike Tomlin said after practice that fullback Roosevelt Nix was shaken up. He did not get into specifics, as was linebacker Steven Johnson. Both of those guys evidently were unable to finish. Tomlin also noted that tight end Xavier Grimble had to leave practice again, with this time he called it heat exhaustion. He says hopefully he'll get back to us. Ben Roethlisberger was given the day off. Mike Tomlin said that was scheduled. A little bit concerned about Xavier Grimble here, huh?
Yeah, that's 2 or 3 days now where he hasn't been able to finish practice. And for a young guy, all the flash that he has, he looks like he's in great shape. You know, he's totally rocked up. So, yeah, you know, he's flash. He's a good athlete. He's got a nice catch radius. He's able to make some difficult catches away from his body and adjust and contort himself. But, yeah, you want to see him finish practice. And, again, it's about building trust with his team. Now, again, you have a long ways to go, so you're not going to raise any huge red flags. You know, he's showing some good things. And for a young guy, you know, you want to flash a little bit and show what your potential is. But, so, yeah, we'll have to watch him. The other injury that I don't know if other people talked about or not, because I know he's not a name, but Quentin Schooley did not practice today, undrafted free agent center working with a third team. He's got some sort of brace on his left leg, and that might be a multi-day kind of thing.
And that might spell doom for him, right?
Yeah, because this team right now is only working with 13 healthy offensive linemen then. And you figure at one point, maybe tomorrow, you know, Marquise Pouncey is going to get a day off. They've been talking about managing his reps, and you come off a full contact day like today, it wouldn't be a shock to see Pouncey get a day off. So, yeah, that could be an issue for Quentin Schooley.
Yeah, we might be treated to a transaction when we wake up first thing in the morning. We'll have to monitor that and see. Of course, Ladarius Green on PUP still, as is Shaquem Phillips, and I assume Devontae Sigler still on the non-football injury list. I haven't seen any notice of him being removed from that just yet. Let's see. Let's get after it. Offensive line today. The flip flop continues at left tackle.
Yep, Bill. Wave back with the first team left tackle Ryan Harris, second team left tackle. I imagine that's going to be an on again, off again thing for at least the beginning until they kind of fill that position out more, maybe declare someone with a leg up. BJ Finney, with Schooley's injury, was getting some work. Third team center today. Him and Cody Wallace split reps there. So if you're scoring at home, that's 3 days and three positions Finney has worked at: left guard, right guard, and today center. So that's a nice feather in his cap to get moved around quite a bit. In terms of what actually happened on the field, I thought Gerald Hawkins had an up-and-down day in one-on-ones. Got to see O-line, D-line go at it today. There was one where he got beat on a spin really bad, but he was able to recover a couple reps later. You know, so I think it was Chickala that got him on the spin, but later on he was kind of able to figure things out. So you like to see a guy recover after making an initial mistake. Laterally, you know, that's kind of a big issue for him. You know, we want to see how he's able to move and how he's able to work against these counters, guys that set you outside and then try to work you back inside. Can you stay square? Can you stay with your technique? You know, do you lunge? And I thought Hawkins got a little bit better. So, you know, that's a bad thing turned into a good thing.
Anything else stick out in you know, obviously we forgot to mention padded practice today, first one of 2016, so they were obviously getting after it. Anything else stick out? You know, Hubbard is another guy battling, you know, presumably with BJ Finney for, in all honestly, I think that's really the only battle that we're looking at right now on this offensive line,
For
right?
the 53, yeah. What is it? Two dogs, one bone, trying to get that last spot. Practice squad, you know, there's going to be some spots open, of course. Yeah, Hubbard was okay. Hargrave gave him fits. Hargrave was giving all the backup guys fits in one-on-one today. Finney as well. You know, Hubbard was back at his left guard spot today. So he's played both guard spots right now. Finney's at all three, you know, but we know Hubbard has the versatility to play left tackle, right guard, left guard. So I don't know. It's going to be a fun battle to watch.
All the rotations remaining the same for the most part, except for, you know, the backup center in the late line.
Yeah, they flipped back to day one. Third team again, you're getting some rotation. I don't know if it happened today, but we've seen Brian Mahalik come in with some second team right tackle, then move to third team left tackle. I think they're just doing some shuffling there. Like I said yesterday, that's a nice sign from Mahalik getting that exposure to each side here early on. But yeah, everything else I think just about the same. But like you said, you know, with a Schooley injury, could be a new guy coming in. We'll have to look at their rookie minicamp guys and see if anybody, you know, sticks out there that they want to bring back.
All right, tight ends today. How was Grimble's day before he had to leave? Everybody's going to ask about how Jesse James is doing.
It's been relatively nondescript. Grimble definitely again got run with the first team though early on. I think the first play of the 7 shots series. Say that 3 times fast. You know he was out there, but then he ended up leaving because of the heat. So that's kind of the big thing with him. It's just that's the big storyline. Like I said, we'll see if he's out there tomorrow. James had a couple catches. You know I don't know if he was out there in backs on backers at all. If he was, I wasn't able to watch that group today, so I don't have really any information. There and then you have Paul Lang and Mandel Dixon, and you know those guys are just trying to stick around through the end of preseason.
Yeah, I think I saw where DJ. So you didn't get a good shot at backs on backers today.
No, because they like it's a big like schoolyard circle that's around them on the far side of the field. So I decided to watch their wide receivers, you know, cornerback safeties that was going on right in front of me.
All right, I know Steelers.com has a good write-up on some of those battles there, and of course we have a bunch of them listed in the Daily Live blog feed as well too. So if you want to scroll through that and see some of the results, I think the young running back Brandon Brown Dukes had a decent showing in there. I think Stingley got bulldozed a couple times from what I can tell. I don't remember reading or seeing too much on the tight ends in that drill either. So we'll have to, you know, search that out on some of these other reports coming out from the major media. Wide receiver Sammy Coates was the star on Saturday. Reading some of these tweets coming across today, not as good of day for Sammy Coates.
Yeah, there was one, I think just one blip. There was a pretty easy drop that he had. I think it was Curl, and I think it was Gradkowski that tried to hit him, and it just went through his hands. But no, I thought Coates was fine, but I just thought some other guys had some really nice days. I thought Eli Rogers really kind of showed what he showed last year, that kind of quick twitch player who's able to keep his speed through his cuts, accelerate at the top of his route. He sells fakes well with his eyes, with his hips. Is able to kind of, you know, give you an inside look and then shake you outside. He just creates separation, and that's what you want in a slot guy. He was be able to he was he won in a lot of different ways. I thought DeMarcus Ayres showed some burst. He got away from Sean Davis on a little kind of fade pattern in one-on-one, so he showed some nice, you know, acceleration and burst with him. I thought Isaac Blakeney, a guy that I've kind of been intrigued by, has some nice hands in terms of getting off the line of scrimmage and separating at the top of the route. I think he's more refined than what I expected for a relatively raw guy. So I thought receivers overall had a nice day today. Levi Norwood had a couple nice catches. I thought Coates even had a couple good grabs as well. Marcus Wheaton got more reps today. Here's the one thing, though, about Sammy Coates. Have not really seen a lot of time in the slot with him, and I kind of thought maybe, you know, we'd get some looks early. Now, there's still a long ways to go, but, you know, I'd really like to see Sammy Coates get some reps inside. Right now, it's basically exclusively on the outside.
All right, so mostly in the slot right now, we're seeing Wheaton and Eli Rogers and DeMarcus Ayers.
Yeah, a little bit of Levi Norwood as well, but yeah, those are the guys in the slot.
Alrighty, any fantastic catches today?
I think Cannon Severin had a nice dive and grab in one on ones today. DeMarcus Ayers probably had what I would probably say the grab of the day, because Artie Burns had really good coverage on this one route and one on one drill. It was a comeback route, and Burns is all over him, and the ball is thrown to the outside right near the sideline, and Ayers just lays out for it, makes a really nice dive and catch. So I thought DeMarcus Ayers, you know, I think most people will come away talking about Eli Rogers and. And they should, but I thought Ayers had just as nice of a day as well.
And let's see, if we talk about running backs, obviously didn't get to see the backs on backers due to the crowd around the drill. But it was a defensive day, to my understanding. In other words, in 11-on-11, the defense for the most part appeared to dominate mostly against the run. Is that correct?
That's a fair assessment to make, Dave. Yeah, I thought in pass protection, I haven't read any of the backs on backers stuff, but I kind of have an opposite feel from kind of the things you said. I thought Stingley did a nice job in pass protection. I thought Brown Dukes and Brandon Johnson, or actually, no, excuse me, Daryl Richardson, struggled a little bit more. I thought Stingley's a nice frame at 230 and was able to square up and be able to absorb that, while, you know, Brandon Brown Dukes is a smaller guy, going to have more trouble. And Shark destroyed, I wouldn't say destroyed, but really jolted Daryl Richardson back once in 11-on-11. So I thought Stingley looked like the best in pass protection from my view.
At one point during practice, Brandon Brown Dukes impressed Mike Tomlin enough that he said he wasn't going to call him hyphen Mercyhurst anymore. So he's going to start calling him by his name, evidently. So anytime you can make a early impression, you know, especially as a young undrafted free agent such as himself, that's always good. Any elusiveness for any of these guys? I know Le'Veon Bell probably didn't do too much today, but the guys, you know, other than Bell, D'Angelo Williams, you know, they show you anything in like the 11-on-11 stuff?
Yeah, I'm happy you brought that up, Dave. I thought, too, you know, Fitzgerald Toussaint showed a little bit of burst, being able to get through the hole, and showed some kind of elusiveness in lateral quicks. And that's what I wanted to see from Toussaint. We know he's kind of not a bowling ball type, but he's kind of a more power guy. I wanted to see if he had some long speed and some explosiveness. His career long run is like 15 yards in the NFL. I know the sample size isn't huge, but, you know, I haven't really seen him as an explosive threat. I thought he had some good, you know, quickness today, some good cuts, and the ability to get, you know, press the hole and get downfield. So I like what Fitzgerald Toussaint did today.
And Nix, unfortunately, you know, we'll have to keep an eye on him. Good thing they signed David Johnson. You know, cause it'll be interesting to watch. Maybe they have to dump one of these guys and pick up a fullback here, depending on what happens with Nix. But that's way early speculation, because we don't even know what the injury is right now on Nix. The quarterback position, Roethlisberger had the day off, to my understanding. In kind of like the seven shots, the offense didn't fare too well today.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I guess I'd have to go back and look at it and see. I think the defense has actually done a nice job overall these first 3 days of competing in seven shots, because that's obviously tailored to the offense to quote-unquote win. I just saw more reps from Dustin Vaughn, you know, and Gradkowski's still over him, but I think they're just trying to get a long look at Dustin Vaughn and see what he's made of. I feel like he's getting more reps than what, you know, Brendan Kay and the like have done in the past. And I know Ben was out today, so of course it's going to move everybody up in the lineup. Landry Jones is working first team quarterback for the most part today, but I thought, you know, they're giving Vaughn a long look. And then just to kind of look at a big picture thing, through the first 3 days, they've only one interception from these quarterbacks combined, and that was Dustin Vaughn, I think, on the first day. So they played, you know, pretty clean football. They haven't forced too many passes. You know, I think they've been pretty accurate. The exchanges have been good overall. You know, last year got really sloppy for a good portion of camp there. So I think the quarterbacks have played really smart, clean football, and for that group, I think that's a testament to them.
Boy, this time last year we had, what, 5, 6, 7 interceptions, something like that?
Yeah, I actually am genuinely curious to go back and try to look at the numbers. I bet you it was probably at least 3 or 4 within the first 3 days. So I think the quarterbacks have played clean, and I'm happy with that, and I bet you the coaches are as well.
And to my understanding, if I read it correctly, I think in the seven shots, D'Angelo Williams may have dropped one. I think they said from Vaughn. I'm not sure if it was Vaughn or Landry Jones on that particular play. So, at least they're not turning the football over. How have the exchanges been?
Pretty good all around. I mean, there's an occasional blip here and there. I think they were 100% clean today. Their football wasn't on the ground in handoffs and wasn't in any, center quarterback exchanges. I think the first 2 days there were, occasionally one or two, handoffs and exchange kind of issues. But overall, pretty good. And again, yesterday with the rain, they weren't too sloppy. So, I've been happy with the way the quarterbacks have approached things.
All right, flipping over to the defensive side of the ball. Keith Butler, in an interview, I believe it was yesterday, was asked about Javon Hargrave, and he said something to the effect of, and I think we went over that, how nimble that guy is and that he wants to see him in pads. Well, he got to see him in pads today, and it seemed there was a lot of positive being tweeted out today about Javon Hargrave.
Yeah, I liked what he did in the one-on-ones. He was kind of having his way with Finney and Hubbard. Those were basically the guys he got to face. He didn't get a chance to see, any of the starting five. But he's got that real quick first step. He's got that arm over move. He can rip under you. So he showed a couple different moves. His one bull rush got stopped. But then I saw in 11-on-11, there was one play where he got under B.J. Finney under his pads and was able to shed the block on a run play. So I think Hargrave's doing, well so far. They even had him run down some punts in special teams, which is maybe the first time we've ever had a nose tackle running down punts, which, hey, maybe you end up seeing that. I don't know. But, yeah, Hargrave is, you can just tell he's going to thrive in those one-on-one opportunities, and he's going to thrive with that first step. And so that's exciting to see.
Guys, haven't really talked about yet on these podcasts, Keshad Lyons and LT Walton, the draft pick last year. They're running after the football?
Well, Walton is definitely. He actually almost came up a little gimpy trying to run after one today. He ended up staying in practice. He should be fine. And then there was one. They did an end around to Darius Heyward Bey, and Jarvis Jones snuffed it out. And so I think Heyward Bey was just kind of messing around, and he ends up cutting it back and the whole way back, and he's almost running into his teammates on watching the play. And there's LT Walton running right with him and almost met him on the sideline. So I love Walton's effort. Really appreciate that. That's, of course, a requirement for John Mitchell. And I thought another guy who we don't talk about really much at all, who had some nice effort today, was Johnny Maxey, running after the football side to side downfield. I thought Maxey had some good effort today. He's getting some work there. I think third team left defensive end, small school kid from Mars Hill, but he's trying to just work his butt off, and that's all you can ask for a guy in his situation.
Giorgio Newberry is a guy you and I both were kind of intrigued by when he was signed as an undrafted free agent, but I assume he's not getting very many reps on a third team line, right?
Yeah, quiet as a mouse. So quiet, I actually forgot to include him in my very early depth chart that went up this morning. I realized that when I was going through my notes, and so I corrected that. I think he's basically, you can call him fourth team right defensive end. I don't think he took a rep in the pass rush, O-line, D-line, one-on-ones today. I mean, even Roy Filon, LaVon Hooks got a little bit of time in. So Newberry has gone very quiet, and that, of course, is not a good sign for him.
Daniel McCullough is somebody we haven't really talked about a lot.
Dan's doing his thing, and one-on-one, he's gonna hit you with that bull rush, and he's gonna push Cody Wallace back, and that's kind of, same old there. I thought the effort's been fine. Nothing bad to say. He hasn't been getting blown out of place. It is tough to watch a nose tackle, even as big as McCullough's, whenever you get that big mess against the run. He actually got some nickel looks today. They kind of, changed up their nickel personnel a little bit, threw some new names in there. I think one was McCullers and Walton, outside of the typical Heyward Tewitt and Hargrave Matthews. So, I don't expect McCullers to really be a big piece in the nickel, but they're doing some different things. And McCullers has been solid. I got nothing bad to say.
And really, full disclosure, you and I both aren't, and the rest of the people listening and all fans aren't really going to get a good look at these offensive linemen and defensive linemen until the preseason, because the vantage point, of course, where you are, you're looking down the line, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm not looking behind the line of scrimmage. I'm looking kind of at them at that angle. So it is tough to see. So yeah, first game, I think, will tell us more. That's why I like the one-on-ones, though, because it just kind of puts guys in a vacuum and it's easier for us to see and try to evaluate. So, but yeah, I thought McCullers has been good. I don't think anyone said anything bad about him, and they shouldn't.
All right. Moving on to the outside linebackers. It appears as though from a report later, I think Mark Cabali had it, that even Jarvis Jones got into the weight loss game this offseason. I think something like 20 pounds, right around in there. I don't remember the exact number, but it's around 250 or so now. Does he look leaner? How's his start of
I
camp?
don't know. He looked maybe the same to me. I guess I haven't gotten a good look and sized up. That's the first time hearing about that news. I guess everyone's losing 20 pounds. It's a pretty good weight program. No, I thought he had a really good day against the run, though. He was able to get some penetration on some of these run plays. He's able to get in the backfield working against Marcus Gilbert. One rep late in practice against Brian Mahala, kind of getting under him. So I thought Jarvis had a good day against the run. You know, it's kind of what Jarvis's MO has been, a guy that's pretty strong. I think people have to realize he's a strong guy with a good punch, and he's a pretty good technician. And a smart player. Just the pass rush hasn't always really been there. A couple of other quick notes. I saw Dupree use a speed bull rush today on Mahalik, and it worked pretty successfully. I'd love to see Dupree really make that his go-to move. Because like what James Harrison did, where you have that power and you convert that speed to power, I think that could be a real asset for Dupree. You know, we'll see if it comes up again. Thought Anthony Chickillo had a nice day as well. He was successful in the one-on-ones. Had a nice spin move. Or inside move on Gerald Hawkins that dusted him pretty good. He was playing left side, right side. One of the coaches called out to him and said, "Good job," in 11-on-11. I don't know what it was that he did, but it sounded like Chickillo had a pretty active and pretty solid day.
Travis Feeney is another draft pick that we really haven't mentioned, talked about a lot.
I'm happy he's playing a little bit of both sides. In his first draft one-on-one today, he went against the veteran Ryan Harris and gave him kind of a quick inside swim move, bring the arm over, and just beat him like that. And he got stoned the next time by Ryan Harris. Feeney tried to win the edge, and Harris was shutting that down. But you saw that flash from Travis Feeney, that quick first step, that quick move, and the ability to win inside like that where Harris couldn't recover. So I thought that was nice to see, where you just see a guy flash and you see this is what he could be. And when you're a young guy, like I've preached, I want to just see, how good can you be? I'm not expecting it every single rep because you're a young guy. It's not always going to work out. But can I see what that potential is? I thought for a moment I saw that with Travis Feeney.
Does he still look like he needs some sand in the britches?
Yeah, he's a pretty lanky guy. He looks like he's a hybrid safety type, which is what he was starting his career at Washington. So yeah, he's not the biggest guy by any means.
He's and we talked about it a lot in previous podcasts for training camp. He's really going to have to show something on special teams, in order to make this roster.
Absolutely, but he's a great athlete. He's got some pass rush ability. And whenever you're an athlete and you have that ability, that mindset of getting off of blocks. I remember Bobby April, who had said this in one clinic, that he loves special teamers that have that pass rush background because they're always focused on getting off of blocks. They know don't get stuck on blocks, and they kind of have that mindset. It gives them a built-in advantage. So I think Feeney, if he stays healthy, and he is, obviously he's out there, hasn't missed a rep. So I think that you have that formula to be a good special teamer.
Jordan Zumwalt still on the outside?
Yeah, from what I saw, I wasn't paying too closely today. I think he got pressure one time. I don't know who he beat, if it was a right tackle or a tight end, but pretty nondescript day. I actually don't think he got any reps in the one-on-ones today, so I don't know where he was at. I guess he was in 7-on-7s.
All right, inside linebacker, the star of the day, Ryan Shazier.
Yeah, Shazier all over the place. He's just knifing into the backfield. Excuse me. Had two tackles for a loss today, one on Darrell Richardson, one on Cameron Stingley. That C to do, which is your favorite phrase, Shazier still has in spades, and he's got that explosiveness to finish the play. So, Shazier had a nice day. LJ Fort almost had another interception, got good depth on a zone drop, and nearly picked off. I think it was Landry Jones who kind of forced the throw. And then I saw my first kind of sighting of Tyler Medikevich today, doing what he does best, coming downhill, supporting the run, and taking out Cameron Stingley's knees. So, I thought, Medikevich made a nice play there that got me, acquainted with him again.
Steven Johnson stick out? Any before leaving?
No, I have in my notes a couple times. It had to have been late whenever this injury happened, because I still have him, my notes pretty late into the 11-on-11. So no, nothing huge with him. A little surprised that LJ Fort was running ahead of him, but maybe it's because Fort has a year in the system when they're doing that deference. I'm really curious to see what Steven Johnson does on special teams, how they're going to use him, because I imagine it's going to be as a four-phase guy, but we'll have to see.
Keith Butler was asked about Steven Johnson the other day, and he said, of course, Steven Johnson came from what, Tennessee, right? And he says, well, Lou's been coaching him up over there. That, of course, is what, who? Lou Spanos, right?
Yes.
former coach with the Steelers, so he should have a decent idea, definitely what's going on there. So it was good to hear Keith Butler kind of mention him. Really didn't get too descriptive, other than just say he's been coached up in Tennessee by Lou Spanos previously. Let's see, cornerbacks. A lot of people asking about Artie Burns. He, of course, he's it can't be fun going against AB as often as he's probably having to do. But how often is that?
I'd have to go back and look at the whole breakdown. The whole breakdown is up on Steelers Depot. But he's gone against some good competition though. Sammy Coates, Eli Rogers. I just thought, yeah, Burns did, you know, I've praised a lot of these guys today, but Burns did not have a good day. And that's okay. You don't have to freak out about that. You know, I know he's a first round pick, but rookies are gonna have bad days, whether you're the first overall pick or you're Mr. Irrelevant. You know, I thought he looked a little stiff. He had trouble with his footing. You know, guys were being able to separate the top of his route. You know, he has to know he can't grab anymore. He's not going to be able to win as being the best athlete out there. These guys are so much quicker than him, and their change of direction is going to be elite, and he's got to learn how to deal with that. So he was having trouble with his footing. I bet you there's probably some stiffness related issues with that. But man, Dave, cornerback is such a mental position. It's all about how you bounce back. And I know he's going to have a great supporting cast to you know, guys that have gone through bad days, not only bad days, but bad years. Ike Taylor is going to hang around training camp. He can talk to him. William Gay is a perfect example of a guy that was dogged by the fans for the first couple years of his career, and now everyone loves him. So it's all about a bounce back for Artie Burns. We'll see how he does tomorrow. I think we'll be better. You know, but he did not have a good day.
How is, you know, one of the things that stuck out to me on tape when looking at Artie Burns was, you know, against the run and having to ward off some of those stock blocks by the wide receivers. You seeing much of that drill so far? And you know, when they get into 11-11, is he a willing participant as far as trying to come up and stop the run?
I haven't seen them drill anything with that. It's usually something they do a little bit later in camp, and I haven't paid much attention when it's happened 11-on-11. But I haven't seen him be passive. I haven't seen him be run out of a play yet. I'm not sure how hard these receivers are really blocking right now. But I think once we get into a game, we're gonna get a better idea of, you know, because we'll see some times where you get two wide receiver sets where, you know, Artie Burns is gonna have no one on his side. He's gonna be on the open side. And then you really become the force defender to that side. So, you know, in these 11-on-11s that are scripted, usually there's gonna be a receiver to your side, or you're gonna be in man coverage over to a twin wide receiver set. I want to see when teams have different formations and put him in different situations that aren't scripted. I think that's going to be a better test of how he does against a run.
Such long arms he has.
Yeah, 33 and a quarter, I think, and that helps him be able to recover on some of those plays. I remember day one of camp, that breakup on Sammy Coates on the slant. He was able to kind of reach his arm around and swat the football away. So, but as long as he is and as speedy as he is, if you're getting, you know, toasted at the top of a route and you're allowing 3 yards of separation, you're just not going to be able to recover. The ball's coming out too quick. These receivers are too good. He'll learn. Bad day, but that's okay.
Cinquez Golson still running primarily in the slot.
Yeah, exclusively in the slot, first team slot. I don't have a whole lot on how he's doing. Actually, I don't think he took any reps in wide receiver DB today. I'm not sure what the reason for that is. I don't know where he was at that point. Yeah, he's exclusively in the slot. Then one just last quick note, I thought Montel Garner's been a little up and down, but I think he has plus ball skills, ability to find the football, high point the football, has a nice vertical, had a breakup today, I think intended for Marcus Tucker down the right sideline on a 9 ball. So I thought Garner's flashed a little bit, and I like what he's done.
Ross Cockrell.
Cockrell, he's been fine. He had a breakup, I think, on a crawl route to Antonio Brown in the 7 shots today. You know, he actually sees AB probably the most, I think, more than anybody else. So yeah, Cockrell's been good. He's been his left cornerback spot, doing his thing. So yeah, he's been okay.
All right, Duran Grant, any better? Just, I mean, just a guy right now?
You know, today was fine. I don't think anything terrible with him. You know, I know that, you know, coaches are going to line those guys up in press coverage sometimes. Sometimes they're in off coverage, but Grant seemed to be in off coverage a lot today in those one-on-one drills. And sometimes they would just throw the simple hitch route, and Grant really wouldn't have the opportunity to compete. I don't think Grant's done a bad job. I just think he's faced a lot of talented receivers and has been picked on a little bit.
A lot of people talking about, you know, Donald Washington for a couple of weeks thereafter, you know, after he was added. We mentioned him on previous podcasts, but really, you know, not much to talk about with him right now, right?
Yeah, not a ton. I don't think it's been bad. I just don't think there's any been anything kind of super good from him. He's been third team right corner. I'll have to go back and look at some of my notes, but yeah, not a screaming start by any means.
All right, with Shamarco Thomas back on the field at safety, did he go back to his second team spot
Yes,
there?
he did.
All right, well, talk about a little bit about the safeties
You know,
then.
I think it was just I think they were just happy they could hit today and support the run and be guys that can kind of fly around the line of scrimmage. I saw tackles for loss and big hits by Sean Davis, Shamarco Thomas, Jordan Dangerfield, Robert Golden did a nice job filling the alley once or twice. Those are guys that are all big hitters and they want to pop the pads and they did. So I didn't see a whole lot from them in coverage because you know it just didn't come up. They really weren't targeted a whole lot. Didn't have a ton of chances to make plays in the football, but they were all coming down to support the run, you know, forcefully, physically, and making solid tackles. So I like the work they did today.
Sean Davis still getting, slot work. I assume that's going to continue here and there.
Yeah, I don't know if I saw it today. I was taking some of the focus off where guys were lining up, but just knowing that he did the first 2 days obviously signals that they, you know, have an idea for that. And even though Montel Garner has been the second team slot guy, we know Garner's chances of making the team are slim, and being active on game day is pretty much none. So you know, I don't know what would happen in an in-game situation. Let's say Senquez Golson goes down, would they move William Gay inside? Or not, but I think Sean Davis is a guy they're trying to get work in the slot as a plan B and as a guy that they can use in dime packages to work down in the slot and give some different looks. So I don't know if I saw it today, but I bet you're going to see it in game and I bet you're going to see it, you know, throughout training camp.
Talk about the chore it is to kind of watch everything that goes on.
I don't think it's a chore. I mean, it's awesome. It can be a little tough and a little overwhelming sometimes, but it's great. And I've learned to read my chicken scratch writing, which is always comes in handy. But yeah, it just training camp moves fast, and you got to be ready for the next thing. So you try to write stuff down as soon as you can and get your head up for the next one. So I try to tweet out kind of the most important things, but I know if I miss something, I'm gonna catch it later. You know, in the recap. You know, I'm afraid if I put my head down in the phone too long, I'm gonna miss something, you know, huge happen on the field, and you never want to do that. So it's a lot of fun though. And then, man, Dave, once the Lions come to town, they have these two joint practices. I mean, the pace is just unbelievable. It's crazy how you know things ramp up, and I mean that is like sensory overload, but it's a lot of fun.
It'd be great if the circle wasn't around the back, some backers drill for you to kind of get a better vantage point of as well, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. Basically, all the media guys flock to those running backs, and that's rightfully so. That's kind of the highlight of the day. But that leaves no one else to watch the wide receivers, DBs going on, and you know, so I'll take advantage and look at that and be able to report on that, and then we'll be able to circle back and read all the other media guys about what happened on backs on backers. So it's kind of a best of both worlds, I guess. We can find out what happens on backs on backers, and still, you know, we can for ourselves look at what happened elsewhere.
All right, you'll be back at it again on Monday, and I assume another padded practice, right?
Yes, I imagine so.
All right, and well, I think you got anything else to add? Kind of an overall feeling of the
Yeah,
day, or
I guess
what?
we can kind of, since we're in pads again, go to a quick kind of winners and losers section, because I know some people have asked about that. I know people like to tie a nice little bow to the day. And again, just understand this is just, you know, day-to-day things. It's not anything to freak out, though, good or bad. But I thought Eli Rogers might have been the winner of the day, a guy that's been able to get separation, work in the slot. He's also worked outside in a couple reps as well, so they're kind of moving him around a little bit, which I like to see. Just a guy that's a smooth route runner, a natural separator. He's got nice hands, some quicks to him. Really explosive at the top of his route. So I like what Eli Rogers has done. Loser, like I said, Artie Burns had a rough day. Kind of showed some of that stiffness in his hips we saw on his Miami tape. I know better days will be ahead for Artie Burns, so do not freak out at all. But it was a bad day. You recognize it as such, and you hope he rises to the occasion tomorrow.
All right, great stuff. And speaking of tomorrow, we will be back at it tomorrow. Hopefully, being as how I have this recorder issue solved, David Todd will be back with me, a normal Monday Terrible podcast with David Todd back. And then Alex will, of course, wrap up what he sees at training camp on Monday in the late edition of that as well. Alex, I appreciate all the hard work. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steeders Depot. You can follow Alex on Twitter at Alex_Cazorra. You can follow the show at Terrible Podcast on Twitter. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Once again, Alex, I appreciate all your hard work. Look forward to actually reading your report. I don't get to read those until after we do these because of the timing. Once again, thanks to sponsors, donators, everybody that makes this possible. Tim Rice taking more amazing photos. I have those up on SteelersDepot.com as well.
Thank you to TouringPlans.com. Want to shout out to them, our sponsor.
Absolutely. And until tomorrow morning, as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, and tonight, Alex Kozora.